sometimes I feel like a monkey. And in fact, as you see there, that's, I think, a pretty good shot of me feeling like a monkey. I feel like a monkey, and the reason I feel like a monkey is that some years ago, for whatever reason, the concept of eating a banana came to represent in my life the idea of living life in vain. Living life in such a way that what you do doesn't really matter. And the reason was is that I just thought how, you know, if you're a monkey, you will sit there and eat a banana without really ever contemplating your future, your destiny. It never comes up. You just, life comes at you, you know, they never think that they're gonna die. What do? They're always after the next banana. That's what life is all about. So eating a banana, to me, I just and it came up. And so over time, I just, that would come up when different things that I felt like, you know, that's really vain. It's just like eating another banana. You know, you're just eating a banana. That's all you're doing. You're not addressing life for the seriousness it is. You're taking it too easy. You're just eating a banana. So I sometimes I feel like a monkey because I live life that way a lot of times, where I'm not taking what's going on. I'm not taking the fact that this is the last time I will be this exact age. You know, I'm getting older. I'm 50 now, and it's like life is passing me by. And I'm being like a monkey if I don't take it more serious. I'd only have a limited time left. So King Solomon, he wrote about the whole issue of life and how often it is a vain effort. In Ecclesiastes 1:1, it opens up like this: "The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, futile, futile, laments the teacher. Absolutely futile. Everything is futile. What benefit do people get from all the efforts which they expend on earth? A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains the same through the ages." Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever sat back and thought, you know, time just keeps on going and going, and generations come and they go. Sometimes I go to graveyards. I was just in the Northeast this last couple weeks, and they have old graveyards. You know, I saw Benjamin Franklin's grave, and you think, you know, it's just, time just keeps on going. What would it have been like to be 200 years and say, I'm going to be 200 years in the future, and yet here we are, and you know, 200 years from now, we'll all have our own gravestones, and time will just keep on going. The next time, and later on in the 14th verse, he says, "I reflected on everything that is accomplished by man on earth, and I concluded everything he has accomplished is futile. Like chasing the wind." We think we're so important sometimes. You watch these political debates and everything, they think it's all so important. But, you know, according to King Solomon, it's really just all very futile. We go on, he says in the 17th verse, "So I decided to discern the benefit of wisdom and knowledge over foolish behavior and ideas. However, I concluded that even this endeavor is like trying to chase the wind. For with great wisdom comes great frustration." I agree with that. "Whoever increases his knowledge merely increases his heartache." So we can get as smart as we want to get. You know what? All we're going to do is learn just how much more futile everything is than what we knew before. Now in the second chapter, he really lays out King Solomon. He was very, very, very wealthy, and he was able to pursue basically whatever he wanted. He's the king, he's got wealth, and that's what he did. And the second chapter really kind of lays out it. He says, "I increased my possessions. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I designed royal gardens and parks for myself. I planted all kinds of trees in them. I constructed pools of water for myself to irrigate my grove of flourishing trees. I purchased male and female slaves, and I owned slaves who were born in my house. I also possessed more livestock, both herds and flocks, than any of my predecessors in Jerusalem. I also amassed silver and gold for myself, as well as valuable treasures taken from kingdoms and provinces. I acquired male singers and female singers for myself, and what gives a man sensual delight? A harem of beautiful concubines. So I was far wealthier than all of my predecessors in Jerusalem. Yet I maintained my objectivity. I did not restrain myself from getting whatever I wanted. I did not deny myself anything that would bring me pleasure. So all my accomplishments gave me joy. This was my reward for all my effort. So he had a good time. He enjoyed himself. However, yet when I reflected on everything I had accomplished and on all the effort that I had expended to accomplish it, I concluded all these achievements and possessions are ultimately profitless, like chasing the wind. There is nothing gained from them on earth. Then we come to the end of his book, the Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter. And he goes through and talks more and more about his quest to try to understand things. And he says, after having heard everything, I have reached this conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. For God will evaluate every deed, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's really something that when you really reflect on life and how much effort we put into so many different things, and to step back and to realize King Solomon is right. It is futile, all of this effort that I'm putting in to all of these things that just at the end of the day don't matter. It's like chasing the wind is how he keeps describing it. You know, when I was on this trip up in the Northeast, I passed through New Hampshire. And in fact, I stayed the night. You only pass through it for a second, half hour. But in that half hour, you can find a hotel. And I found a hotel. And so the next morning, I was sitting out in the lobby on my computer. And this older gentleman, he's older than anybody in here, even my father. He was in his 80s, I'm sure. So this guy in his 80s came up to the desk, and he was in a big rush. He comes up, he came from outside, and he was in a big rush. And they knew him by name, and I can't remember his name, but they said, "Oh, isn't it?" And he's like, "How you doing?" And he, I didn't listen to the whole conversation. I was just picking up pieces. And he started conversing, and he wanted something from them. And they said, "Well, are you going to take a vacation this year?" And he says, "No, I got too much to do. I'm busy. You know, I got a lot to do. I got a new worker, and we're trying to get him trained." And they said, "Well, you're not going to take, that's too bad, you're not going to take a vacation. I got too much to do this year. I'm thinking to myself, you're 80 some years old. Can you just, it's sounding a little futile to me, you know?" So he's, "Yeah, I got so much to do, and I'm hired this kid, and he's got a girlfriend, and I'm hoping she'll keep him on track and get him focused, because we got a lot to get done, and he needs to get things cracking." So, and I just thought to myself, how sad. You're that old, and you're that wrapped up that you can't even take a vacation because you got so much. I'm thinking, what is so important that has to be done? How futile your life must be at this point. To me, he was stuck eating bananas. All of that work, all of that effort is like, to me, the monkey sitting back when life, there's a lot of important things to be doing, but all he's doing is eating bananas. Who cares if the guy's busy and getting things done? I kind of felt for the kid that God was just getting married. You know, you're going to keep that guy busy. He needs to be home with his wife a little more often, probably, you know. Busy. Then I was up further. I went up to Booth Bay Harbor, Maine. And in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, we had a kind of a nice little place. We were overlooking the harbor. And I was, we had these rooms, and these people next, there was another old couple. And this time, there was a guy and a wife, and they were talking with each other. And the gentleman was telling his wife, and she had no interest in it whatsoever, let me tell you. She's telling him about his investment into this retirement home and how he got a super good deal, and how, and he was going on and on and on about with his wife, who, again, was, they weren't conversing because she was just like, And I was thinking, when are you going to get to spend all this money? Again, the guy was over, he was, again, over 80, both of these people. And it just got me thinking, you're stuck on your bananas. You're thinking that you're going to, what are you going to do with this investment? When are you going to spend it? You're close to dying, and you're all your interest is in this investment that you have. You know, the irony to me is that we often feel like kids just need to understand how important their future is. Isn't that true, Rebecca? And it is true. But it's sometimes I you know, my kids are grown, but sometimes I just wanted to. Don't you get it? Don't you understand what, you know, you need to go to class or whatever it is. Don't you get it? You want to shake them. Don't you understand? Don't you see that the future's coming? Don't you see? The irony is that it's the older people that don't seem to see, including myself, including, I feel like all of us, we need to be shaken. Don't we see? The future is coming. And we're stuck living today, most often sitting around eating bananas, doing something of very, very little significance. It seems to me almost the older we get, the more we're stuck. I don't know if it's because we've invested so much time into the things that we feel are going to make us happy. You know, we've spent years and years to have enough money to buy that camper, so now we're going to use it, and you know, that's our hope, that's our banana, we're going to, I don't know. But we ought to think before we tell our kids that they need to see their future, not before, but after, are we seeing our future? Our future is not what we do or what we get right here on earth. We have an eternal future that Solomon talked about that we should be thinking much more about. Sometimes I wonder if we've fallen in love with our bananas. We love our bananas. Now, what are our bananas? Our bananas might be our career. It's our hopes, our dreams. It's the things that we think would be money. Our bananas are the things that we do to find some value in life, the things that we put our effort